How wonderful. Amen. How glorious. Amen. How excellent. Amen. How marvelous. Amen. We are really short of words when it comes to worshiping our Father God. Amen. This morning, I trust we're all in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. Amen? If you are in the Spirit, say amen.
Amen.
Very good. Well, this morning we have gathered the churches in the Northern California for a special time of fellowship. And these meetings right now are being streamed live through the internet to 7 or 8 other locations where saints cannot come because of distance and so on. So they are now also partaking of this fellowship and listening or viewing this fellowship live right now. This morning, our agenda or our schedule is as follows. I will take about an hour or maybe a little bit more than an hour to share with you concerning the Lord's present burden. For the Lord's recovery, surely for these United States, and more particularly for the churches in Northern California. And at the end of that sharing, with the help of this outline which you have in your hands, I would like to speak to you concerning the gospel, some practical points concerning the carrying out of the gospel to fulfill this present burden, great burden of the Lord, for the increase and spread of his recovery. And then after that, I would like to set some goals for us, some very practical and reachable goals, corporate goals, for all the saints and all the churches in this area for the coming 10 years, and more specifically for this coming year. After that, a few brothers will come up here to give us some brief report or a snapshot of where the churches are today in Northern California. I believe if we hear that, we will rejoice. And we will give thanks to the Lord for what he has done among us even in the last 1 to 2 years. And then after they finish, I will give a concluding word to give you some practical handle how to go forward from this point onwards. First of all, before we get into this burden in this outline, I have the feeling to give you 10 points. Now, this morning, I would challenge all of you to take out your pen and use the paper, maybe your outline. There's some white space there. This morning, everyone is going to take notes because I'm going to give you a lot of points. I am a point man, as they say. I'd like to give you, firstly, 10 points as reasons for us to praise God because of what he has done in these almost 20 years amongst us in the Lord's recovery. Why 20 years? Because it was 19 years ago when our brother Witness Lee passed away to be with the Lord. By next year, June, it will be 20 years already. How fast time passes by. And I like to share with you, to my feeling, how the Lord has blessed his recovery abundantly in these last 20 years with, according to these 10 points. I'll be very quick about it, so no time to elaborate. Number one, the Lord preserved his own recovery. After Brother Lee died, the Lord's recovery did not fall apart. The Lord's recovery did not fracture. The Lord's recovery is preserved together as one piece. And today, there is a oneness in the Lord's recovery as never before. So the recovery is going on strong and powerful and prevailing. Number two, the second blessing is the great blending of all the co-workers globally. You know, the co-workers, the brothers, they represent the churches. They represent the Lord's work. They represent the leadership in the whole of the Lord's recovery. And we thank the Lord that in these 20 years, these brothers, instead of doing their own thing, each going their own separate ways, each working in their own carved out territory, these brothers took Brother Lee's instructions and become blended together to become the blended brothers. And because of that, the work today is one. There are many countries, there are many regions, there are many areas of the Lord's work on the whole earth, and yet, from our conscience, we can declare we are moving on as one. We are following the one ministry, we're doing the one work, we're building up the one body, and we're here to fulfill God's one economy. Thank the Lord for that. Number three, we like to praise the Lord for the blessing of the great spread and growth of the Lord's testimony. In Europe, in South America, in Central America, in Africa, in all of Asia, in the Middle East, in Australasia, and even here in North America, the Lord has spread. The Lord has increased himself through the faithful saints, preaching of the gospel, the spreading of the truth, and the planting of many new church trees. Number four, the great blessing the Lord has given to his recovery is in the vast distribution of the ministry in the form of the literature, through the internet, through Rhema. You know Rhema, that distribute the books all throughout the whole earth. Right now they are very, very active, for example, in Egypt. The country of Egypt. There are many, many seekers and Christians in Egypt who are hungry for this ministry. And of course, we're doing it as we speak in Europe with so many refugees and especially in the country of Germany. But not only so, in a worldwide basis, we are spreading the truth. And you have Bibles for America. You have Bibles for Canada. You have Bibles for Australia, and so on and so forth, distributing this ministry, the recovery version, and all the riches that we possess. This is a great thing, brothers and sisters. Number five, the Lord's great blessing is seen in the continuation and advance of the ministry of the Word. In these 20 years, the Lord's word among us have not become rare. It has not become reduced. Rather, we have kept up with the 7 feasts per year so that in these 20 years or 19 years, we have almost 140 such feasts. And in these feasts, I think we can all testify, these conferences, these trainings, the Lord's speaking has been abounding and rich and full of light and full of life. The Lord's speaking is a strong indication of his presence and his blessing. Number six, the blessing of the full-time trainings throughout the earth. There has got to be 15 or 16 full-time training centers all throughout the earth, including our own down in Southern California in Anaheim. Right now, the average number of trainees there is almost 400. And we predict that easily within a few years' time, we will reach 500 average, and it will continue to grow. We're running out of facilities. Praise the Lord for this. I cannot imagine the Lord's recovery today without the full-time training. So many of our young generation to attend, to receive the foundation of help in truth and life, and many to be produced as full-timers, and even those who are not, they will have a base, a solid base, to serve the Lord in the churches. Number seven, the producing of full-timers. In these 20 years, hundreds and thousands of full-timers have been produced all throughout the earth. These are laboring on campuses. They are sent out to different places to preach the gospel, to establish churches. We look to the Lord that there will be this contingent, this rank of full-timers will continue to grow. Number eight, the work on the college campuses. Surely in these last 20 years, that work has grown. This is a great thing, brothers and sisters, to gain the next generation from the campuses. And today, I cannot tell you how many campuses we are covering, but last year, for example, we have our first ever summer college training in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. And we have 1,200 students alone coming together, and that is not even all of our young people. And they are now keep coming. You know, some I ran some trainees who were actually in that last year's summer college training. Today, they're in the full-time training in term one and term two. This is a great, great thing. And number nine, the vindication of the Lord's recovery with our gaining so many friends. The brothers actively, aggressively contacting the Christian leaders. And because of that, some of them have turned and realized that we are not a cult. We are not heretics. We may have different opinions and doctrines and so on, but we are real brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we have even a magazine put out by the Christian Research Institute, the very organization that opposed us, who took the lead to oppose us 30 some to 40 years ago. And now they put out this statement or this magazine saying, we were wrong. Not only them, but many others have come to know us and respect the Lord's recovery. This is not a small thing. Finally, number 10, I would say the great blessing that the Lord has given us is all of our own second generation that have come up, born in the church life, born in Zion, raised up, and now populating the Lord's recovery. The gift of the Lord is our own children. Am I right? So, brothers and sisters, these are not only our physical descendants, but even our spiritual descendants. So I don't know whether you agree with me or not. These are 10 great blessings the Lord has given to his recovery. Now, why did the Lord bless us in this way? Because the Lord has much to do. He has much more to do on this earth. And so these blessings is an indication of the Lord's confirmation that this recovery of his is indeed his testimony and his move on the earth today. In light of these blessings, we should not only thank the Lord, we should not only praise him, we should say, Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you again to cooperate with you. that this blessing will continue. This blessing will even grow more and more until his coming back. Now, I'd like to go to this outline. Please turn with me to this outline. In this outline, the title is this: The Preaching of the High Gospel and the Propagation of the Divine Truths for the Increase and Spread of the Lord's Recovery. I'd like all of us to read this together, shall we? The Preaching of the High Gospel and the Propagation of the Divine Truth for the Increase and Spread of the Lord's Recovery. This is the present burden of the Lord. This is the direction of the Lord's move today among us. And I like to be even more personal to say this again, that this is the burden for the churches in the entire Northern California, in the whole Bay Area. And that is, it's time for us to fulfill that great commission of the Lord to preach the gospel. But not only a general gospel, but a high gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Many of us were there in the Chinese-speaking conference, am I right? Just a couple of months ago, with the title, the subject, The Gospel. And because of that conference, there was much stirring, much prayer, much fellowship among the co-workers, that was a speaking from the Lord to charge us the whole recovery at this hour, at this time, to rise up as an army, to be mobilized as an army, to go forth to preach the high gospel to the whole earth, starting in our own Jerusalem where we are. Not only so, our commission is also the propagation of the divine truths. Today, generally speaking, among the Christians, there is still a great famine, a deep poverty in the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. But yet among us, this is like the Joseph storehouse. When there's a vast famine, there is a storage. There is a deposit. There is a treasure store of the rich and deep divine truth of the Word of God. And I don't think I'm here exaggerating. I'm here merely speaking the truth. Look at our library. Look at our books. Look at your recovery version. It is just rich beyond comprehension. But brothers and sisters, these riches given to us is not just for us to enjoy alone, for us to just celebrate with one another of this wonderful heritage that we have received. But all this that is given to us is for all of God's children, for all of God's people, to feed all of the seeking, all the hungry seeking people. And so we have this commission to propagate the divine truth. And this preaching and this propagation, my brothers and sisters, is for the increase and for the spread of the Lord's recovery. Do you agree with me? I tell you, we may be satisfied with things, but the Lord is not. He liked to see a universal growth, an unlimited increase, a continual spread of his recovery, much like the vine tree in John chapter 15. This universal divine organism, that is his body, must grow and spread and bear fruit. in an unlimited way, covering the whole earth. This is what is in the Lord's mind. This is the Father's heart's desire. And we must be here to join with Him, to be one with Him in the local churches for this universal increase and spread. Now, please follow me in the outline now. I will not spend that much time just on this outline, mainly reading it to you, just underscoring a little bit here and a little bit there. I trust you will get into it on your own after this meeting. Number one, God desires all saved ones to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Actually, the verse says in 1 Timothy 2:4, our Savior God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. This, in one sentence, tells us what is deep in God's heart, that all men should be saved and all men should come to the full knowledge of the truth. Hence, the preaching of the gospel, hence the propagation of the truth are needed. Two, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of this age. That is what is prophesied by the Lord Himself in Matthew 24 when He spoke concerning the end times, the end of this age. There's one thing that must be fulfilled. Don't just think about the building of the temple, which is something that has to be fulfilled before the end of this age. But there's something very, very important that must be realized, and that is this kingdom gospel to be preached for a testimony of God, for a testimony of Jesus throughout the whole world, amongst the nations, among the Gentiles, including these United States. A, the gospel of the kingdom, which includes the gospel of grace, brings people not only into God's salvation, but also into the kingdom of the heavens. Our gospel is not just to save people from hell and send them to heaven. Our gospel is to bring people out from under the authority of darkness and of Satan, and transfer them into the kingdom. The kingdom of the heavens. B, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole earth for a testimony to all the nations, the Gentiles. That means the nations and the Gentiles will witness this testimony, which is the result, the reality of the gospel of the kingdom. See, this testimony must spread to the whole earth before the end of this age, the time of the great tribulation. I will not get into these details. You can read Matthew 24 and the footnotes in the Recovery Version to appreciate these things. D, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth to gain people of every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation. This morning I was quite impressed by the Lord's table with so many languages. Actually, we need more languages. I think in the Bay Area there's a lot more languages than that. Am I right? Every tribe, every tongue, every people and every nation should come to know this gospel. Right now, the Lord is moving greatly in Ethiopia. We met some of the saints there and visit the churches there. The Lord is really doing something in a marvelous way. The same thing with in India. In many of the Middle Eastern countries, there's just an open door the seekers everywhere, the Lord's chosen elect. E, I believe that the churches in the Lord's recovery will bear the burden to bring this gospel to all the inhabited earth. The gospel of the kingdom is the higher gospel. This higher gospel will be brought to every continent through the churches in the Lord's recovery. Today, the gospel of grace is preached in quite a widespread way, even though it is still not that complete. But the gospel of the kingdom, I would say, is hardly preached. And that burden falls on our shoulders. Number three, Romans 3. The subject of the book of Acts is the propagation of the resurrected, that is the pneumatic Christ, in his ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches. And I'd like you to underscore these few things. In his ascension, by the Spirit, through the disciples, for the producing of the churches. And this is how the propagation will go forward. Firstly, it is in the ascended Christ. That means the Christ who have obtained all authority in heaven and earth, the enthroned Christ, the Christ who is ruling the whole universe. This Christ had given his authority to his church today. And this propagation is carried out by the Spirit, not by any human method, not by any worldly means, but by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. He alone is our power. And not only so, it is through the disciples, because the disciples are Christ's ambassadors, are Christ's representatives. In fact, they are Christ's members. They are the body Christ on the earth today. And this propagation is carried out for the producing of the churches. This gospel is preached with a goal. I said again, it is not just to save souls and send them to heaven. It is to produce local churches, the aggregate of which is the body of Christ. The Lord must gain a part of this body on the earth before he can return. A, the Gospels from Matthew through John unveil the completion of Christ. From his incarnation to ascension was a long process through which the Son of God, God's anointed one, was completed, fully qualified, and fully equipped. You see the process of the Lord Jesus, what he went through? That was fully depicted in the four Gospels. That process completed him. So today, this Christ is the completed Christ. This is the Christ that we preach. Now he is in the heavens with all his qualifications to be God's Christ, God's anointed one, to carry out God's eternal commission. The Lord on the throne is the Messiah, the anointed one. He alone was commissioned by God to execute God's economy, to carry out God's commission. Yet today, my brothers and sisters, we are part of him. Aren't we? We have been joined to him organically. We are his body. So today, we share in his completion. We share in his qualification. We even are joined to the anointed one and share in his anointing. So today we have his commission on the earth. We are on the earth, brothers and sisters, to carry out God's eternal commission. B, Acts unveils the propagation of the pneumatic Christ, the propagation of the completed Christ as the gospel. So this is what we're doing today. This is why we're in the local churches. This is why we're all here in the church life. Not just to be here for our own existence and enjoyment. Not even just here for our own growth and development, which is very important. But we're here to fulfill this unfinished, incomplete commission. That is to propagate such a Christ as the gospel, to produce the local churches. Number one, after the gospel, Acts unveil the propagation of the pneumatic Christ, the propagation of the completed Christ as the gospel. One, after the gospels, the completed Christ was preached as the gospel. Two, Acts shows us that through the preaching of the completed Christ, there was a great propagation. So if you read the book of Acts, the first gospels, the four gospels, was the process of completing this Christ. And Acts is the propagation, the widespread propagation of such a Christ by his believers. And we're still today writing the book of Acts. Four, the word of God grew and multiplied. You must go back and read and pray read these verses. Acts chapter 12, verse 24. Let me read that to you right now. 12:24 of Acts. It says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. It is quite a description. The word can grow and the word can multiply. What does that mean? Let's quickly take a look. Because the word is the container of the Lord, the word of God is actually the Lord himself. Therefore, for the word of God to grow actually means that the Lord grew. He was completed. Now he's growing. B, the word grows with the believers and multiplies with the church. So as I said already, today the Lord, Christ, actually includes his believers, his members, and includes his body, the church, and the churches. So when we say the word grows, we mean also the growth of the believers and the multiplication of the church and the churches. See, the fact that the word of God grew and multiplied indicates that the believers and the churches were filled with the word and one with the word. Do you know that you are the word of God? You realize that? We are the word, part of this word that is growing and multiplying. Five, we need to pick up the burden for the spread of the Lord's recovery. We need to give the Lord a way to have a recovery full of life and full of the knowledge of the truth so that we can be those who preach the gospel, teach the truth, and minister life. This is our church life, brothers and sisters, a church life full of the divine life, a church life full of the truth. And our church life is a gospel-preaching church life. It is a truth-teaching church life. It is a life-ministering church life. B, this is a quote. I am deeply burdened by the fact that many who love the Lord Jesus and seek him have been deceived and frustrated. We must find a way to share with them the spiritual riches the Lord has provided us. Many who truly love the Lord are starving. We must take up the burden to supply them with food. We all need to be good ministers of Christ, serving others with his riches. Let us first be nourished ourselves and then minister this nourishment to all the people of God. Brothers and sisters, and I don't know about you, but within me, every day, even when I sleep, I'm filled with burden for all of God's children. Not only those who are in the Lord's recovery, but thousands, millions of them that are not in the Lord's recovery. They are our brothers and sisters. We all belong to one universal family, yet they are impoverished. They are hungry. They are not fed by the proper food. And so today, this should be a heavy, heavy burden within us. Actually, you know what our dear brother Lee said one time? He said, in a sense, I don't care for the increase, but I care for the feeding of all of the Lord's hungry children. What a pure burden that is. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. That is to feed God's children at the appointed time, to give them food. See, today in the Lord's recovery, the greatest need, the primary need, is to gain the increase. A house cannot be built without materials. We need to save sinners through the preaching of the gospel, that they may become material for the building up of the church as the house of God. If we mean business with the Lord for his recovery, we need to consider our present situation seriously. We should not be comfortable concerning the present situation of the Lord's recovery, especially regarding the matter of increase. On the one hand, we need to almost indiscriminately, liberally, spread these riches by our gospel, by our propagation of the divine truths, on the one hand. On the other hand, we need to what? We need to feed, and we need to teach, and then we also need to perfect, and we also need to establish. Many who are the beneficiaries or the recipients of this gospel, of this truth, all of that will cause them to grow, to look for something further, and that is what is God's will for their lives. What is God's purpose in this universe? Where is the church of God? Where is the reality of the body of Christ? Where are these things practiced and realized? There will be hungry and seeking ones like this, just like many of us who were once that way and now we're here, gained for the Lord's recovery to see these things. Brothers, there are many, many like this. And all these ones, with proper care, will comprise the increase, the growth of the Lord's recovery today, and that should be our very burden. Number six, the spreading of the truth of the Lord's recovery will be a preparation for the Lord's coming back to bring the recovery and restoration, not only to Israel, but also to the entire creation. I think I gave a conference 2 years ago or a year and a half ago on the three R's. Number one, renewal. Number two, revival. And number three, restoration. And look at this. This is that burden. There needs to be a preparation for the Lord's coming back to bring in that restoration. And our spreading of the truth, our spreading of the high gospel has direct impact on that preparation. A, immediately after Christ's ascension, these four things, the gospel, war, famine, and death, began to run like riders on four horses, and they will continue until Christ comes back. Remember the first four seals, the white horse, the red horse, am I right? And then the black horse, and then the pale horse, am I right? Signifying the gospel and war and famine and death, starting from the first century, were unleashed to gallop. And they have been galloping in all these 20 centuries. But the first horse, the first seal, is the white horse. And do you know what the white horse is? The white horse is with someone on that horse with a bow, but no arrow. Because that arrow has been shot. And that rider of that horse is the personified gospel. The gospel as a person. And the fact that the arrow has been shot means it is a preaching of the gospel in triumph, in victory, to declare the work has been done. As the Lord declared on the cross, Satan has been destroyed. Salvation has been accomplished. This is our gospel, brothers and sisters. And that horse is still running today. And we all are on that horse. Don't you belong on that horse? That is the first seal. It's not war, it's not famine, it's not death, it's the gospel. And of course, war follows, famine follows, death follows. The world situation is comprised of all these things. But the Lord is administrating the whole universe and the world situation for his move, for the further spread of this gospel. Look at the world today. All the hot spots, all the problems, it's unprecedented. The terrorism, the Cold War that is coming back. Look and read the news in the newspaper. All these are signs. Look at the Middle East. There's absolutely no answer to that situation. Look at the moral degradation and decline. All these things should tell us that these other horses are still running. But brothers and sisters, what about our horse? The white horse. That horse must run. The spreading, running, and racing of the gospel of the kingdom throughout the whole inhabited earth is the kernel of the divine history within the human history. The outward eyes see the war, see the famine, see the death, see the conflict, see all the problems that beset humanity today. But only the inner eyes will see something within, the real history, what is really going on in this universe. And that is the divine history. And brothers and sisters, by being part of the spreading and running and racing of this gospel of the kingdom, we are creating this history. We're part of this divine history that is still being written today. I believe this. Number two, the gospel of the kingdom signified by the white horse of the first seal in Revelation 6, 1 and 2 will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of this age, the time of the great tribulation. We had that quote before, earlier. B, we're not preaching a partial gospel, but the full gospel that encompasses everything from Matthew through Revelation. The gospel of God's eternal economy to dispense himself in Christ as the Spirit into his chosen ones through his judicial redemption and by his organic salvation for the building up of his body in the local churches to consummate the New Jerusalem at his bride, his wife, for his eternal expression. A long sentence, huh? Even I ran out of breath reading it. But it's all there. This is, brothers and sisters, God's entire economy. And we preach this economy as the full gospel of God from Matthew to Revelation. See, actually the gospel includes all the divine truth. The entire New Testament is the gospel, and the New Testament as the gospel is typified by the Old Testament. Thus, we may say that the gospel includes the entire Bible. D, God's unique purpose in this age is to have the gospel preached so that the church as the body of Christ might be built up to consummate the new Jerusalem. All right, I'm done with this. Now I want to give you points concerning the outworking of the preaching of this gospel. So I want to give you points by sections. So listen carefully, write this down, and practice it when you go back home. From now on, I would say, until the Lord comes in our church life, we should do this. The first thing I want to say is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. And I want to give you 4 points. Number one, prayer. Prayer. And I don't have time to give you verses. If you want me to give you, at least I can give you one. Acts 6:4. And John chapter 15, verse 16, I believe, concerning asking. So don't belittle, underestimate the power of asking, of interceding for the unsaved, for the seekers. Pray, brothers and sisters. We start with prayer. Number two, the Word of God is the power of the gospel. It's not my word, it's not your word, it's the Word of God itself. Chapter 4 in Acts 31, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the Word. There's power in the Word of God. Number 3, the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit is our very power. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Our boldness to preach the gospel is in the Holy Spirit. Number 4, the power of the gospel is in the Lord's name. The name of Jesus we preach. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 10 and 12, verse 17 and 18 in chapter 4, all these 4 things give us the practical authority to preach the gospel. So even a little sister, a young saint, you are thoroughly empowered by these 4 things. Don't trust in your feeling. Don't look at yourself. You pray. You speak the word. You get filled with the Spirit. And you stand in the name of Jesus. And we will be endured with the power, the authority of the Lord, who said, "All authority is given to me, and I have given them it to you. Go, therefore." So, brothers and sisters, let's go. Amen? Amen? It's time to go, brothers and sisters. Even in Northern California, we are going. The second thing is, I want to give to you, are the fields of the gospel. What are the fields? Where do we go and preach the gospel? I give you these four fields. Number one, friends and relatives. Your friends, your relatives, your little Jerusalem, your parents, your siblings, your cousins, your dear friends, your acquaintances. My goodness, what a field. What a field, brothers and sisters. We always don't care for this field. Actually, the ones closest to you are the best candidates for the gospel. We should start praying for them earnestly, sincerely. The second field of the gospel is what? Is the neighborhood and the workplaces. Your neighborhood, where you live, your street, your little community, your parks, your supermarkets. A lot of people there. And don't think behind those doors are wolves. I think behind those doors are actually needy people with broken marriages, broken families, and broken hearts. They put on a happy face, but inwardly they are crying. They have no solution. They don't know what is the meaning of life. Let us not be afraid, brothers and sisters. Let us love them and go to them. The workplaces, Google, LinkedIn, Apple. Apple, we're coming. We have many brothers and sisters working in these corporations, and there are thousands and thousands of millennials and some non-millennials. These are all people who need the Lord. Don't think millennials don't need the Lord. I recently heard the millennials now are following the way of their parents, who are the baby boomers. Once upon a time, they all flocked into the inner cities to be hip, you know what I mean? Now they're all flowing into suburbia. They are buying the biggest SUVs, bigger than their parents. There's nothing new under the sun because they're having kids, that's why. Brothers and sisters, in these workplaces are full of needy people. Put on a different kind of eyeglasses. Your colleague, the one next in the next cubicle. Don't bypass them. Pray for them. And give them a BFA track, a card. Start a Bible study. Just begin. No need to wait. You pray, brothers and sisters. This Silicon Valley, full of startups, full of all kinds of corporations, a field of labor. Number three, the third field are the campuses, college campuses. I would even say high school campuses. Why not, brothers and sisters? That's why we need full-timers. That's why I want to stir up all the college saints among us. You have a job to do. If you're in college today, I will tell you, you have only one thing to do, and that is burn that campus. To fish in that huge fishing pond full of fish. That's all your job. Besides you study, besides going to meetings, it's fishing time. And the Lord will bless you. Even high school. Even high school. Of course, we need some way, some wisdom. Our high school brothers and sisters should be seeds of the gospel in their campuses, really. And then I have one area. This area may not be strictly the gospel in that sense, but in another sense it is. I would say the dormant saints among us. Some who have not been meeting. Some who have been discouraged. Some who are in the heart of hearts, they believe they are one of us, but for this or that reason, they have been out. Brothers and sisters, to restore such a believer is a great thing. So my brothers and sisters, we need to follow the Lord to leave the 99 and go and find that one lost sheep. All of us, filled with the farthest seeking spirit, filled with the Lord's, the shepherd's heart for the lost. It's time, brothers and sisters, we look from ourselves, lift our eyes, and behold the fields, they are all white and ready for harvest. And now I want to give you the third section. It's called the endeavor for the gospel. The gospel requires certain endeavor. It's a work. It requires labor. So I give you four things again here. Number one, zeal. Firstly, you need the zeal. Gospel is a matter of fervency, of fire. You have a heart for the souls of men. You have a heart for the lost. You weep for them. You pray for them. That makes you zealous. Oh, how I like to see in the churches in Northern California, the saints are burning for the gospel. Number two, for this endeavor, we need wisdom. We're not just crazy. Paul says, I would become all things to all men. To a Jew, I become a Jew. To the Gentile, I become a Gentile. To those who are under the law, I become one as under the law. And those who are outside of the law, I become one as outside the law. That means wisdom. We need to learn. We need to study. To different kinds of people, we have different approaches and ways. This is a big thing. The more you go and contact people, the more you preach the gospel to them, the more you will learn how. Number three, the endeavor of the gospel is struggle. My, you say, you really want to give us this word? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. In fact, I'll give you some verses. Colossians 1:29. Colossians 2:1, Colossians 4:12. Colossians is a book on struggle. Paul struggled for everyone. I tell you, to get someone saved, to bring help someone, feed someone so they can grow in Christ, to teach them, to establish them in the truth of the word, to bring them into the church life, to gain them, to establish them, it is a struggle. But I tell you, that struggle is more than worthwhile. Number four, what we need is what? Is patience. Patience. The endeavor of the gospel requires patience. Don't expect overnight result. Don't expect 1 or 2 days. Something will happen. Fruit will be born. A tree will bear fruit once a year. We need patience, day and night to labor, even with endurance to gain someone. Last thing I want to give to you is something I shared with the 50-plus saints 2 weeks ago. That is the boast of the gospel. The boast of the gospel. I like to see all the saints boasting in nothing else. In nothing else. Don't boast in your spirituality. Don't boast in anything. Just boast in the people that you gain, that you save, that you bring to the Lord, that you establish, that you have taught. Boast in them. And there are four things here as well. They're all from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 to 20. Number one, joy. Joy. The joy of bearing fruit. The new ones that you care for is your joy. Number two, hope. New ones give us hope. Babies give us hope. Restoring a believer gives us hope. Number three, glory. Glory. The new ones are our glory. Do you have glory, brothers and sisters? Our children are our glory. And lastly, our crown. The crown. The new ones are our crown. Without them, we have nothing to boast before the Lord at his judgment seat. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm being very, very real with you here. When we meet the Lord one day, as we all will you meet the Lord empty-handed? Or will you meet the Lord with a cast of people actually waiting for you there? And these are the ones that you have brought to the Lord, that you have helped to bring into the kingdom. That is a very serious thought. The one who wrote that hymn, "How Can I Face Him Empty-Handed?" A man who got saved at his deathbed. Deathbed. He got saved and he has this feeling, how can I face the Lord, not having brought anyone to him because he was dying. And then someone told him, I'll just take your word. How can I face the Lord empty-handed? And I'm going to write a hymn with that word of yours. And anyone who sang that hymn and were inspired by that hymn to become a missionary, to go forward, to save souls, all those souls will belong to your account. So that's how that hymn was penned. And over the years, who knows how many were touched by that hymn and gave their lives to go forth and preach the gospel. I think today this saint who died has many in his account. We need to give our money for the gospel. What is money for, brothers and sisters? Not just for our living, for our enjoyment. Our material possession is to what? Is to buy more Bibles, to buy more tracts. Am I right? It is to feed the new ones. It is for the gospel. It is to support the full-timers. Let us have such a heart. One day, we will be rewarded at his coming. Now, I would like to finally, before the brothers come up, talk to you about our goal. Our goal. Our goal, brothers and sisters, here in this country and here in Northern California churches, all 35 of us, of the churches, is to at least double our number in 10 years so that by 2027, our current number of saints who meet every Lord's Day like this, and thank the Lord today we have full house even with many standing, I think there must be 800 to 900 saints here. That's not everybody because some are watching this over the internet. 2,400. We have 2,400 saints every Lord's Day in our meetings. That would double at least in 10 years to 4,800 or more. I believe more, over 5,000. On Lord's Day alone, every week counting. There should be many more in our home meetings. But just counting on the Lord's Day, we will double that. And not only so, instead of 35 churches that we have now, in 10 years we will have 70 churches. Amen? That amen is a bit weak, but it's okay. I'm here to infuse faith into you. In 10 years, there will be 70 local churches in Northern California. 5,000 saints, 70 churches in 10 years at least. How are we going to get there? We're not just talking. How are we going to get there? We're going to get there by every year, every church aiming at or setting the goals for gaining a 15% increase, 15%. You may say 10% will do it. Why do you say 15%? Well, it's always good to have a cushion. And truth be told, we do have certain attrition. Saints would pass away among us. Am I right? This and that. So that we can have a net increase of 10% per year, doing simple math here, we aim for 15%. A very, very reasonable goal. Now, let's do some math right now. 2,400 saints today, 15% this year, meaning from now until next April, right? That's what we're talking about. 15% of 2,400 is 360 people. That means by next year on Lord's Day, we count heads again. We will not have 2,400, but 2,760 saints on Lord's Day. Okay? Is that doable? Well, a little weak. So I'm going to convince you. My job is to convince you, to make you believers. This morning, actually, I'm preaching the gospel. Amen. The gospel of increase. So that you all become believers. Okay. I'm going to say this. Listen. Of the 2,400 saints on Lord's Day, I'm going to discount and say only one third of these saints will do this, will rise up to fulfill their commission. Now, isn't that a reasonable, a very deep discount? That means one out of three. The other two goes to sleep. They decided not to fulfill the commission. They're still good saints, but they just won't do it. I hope not. I hope all 2,400 will rise up. But to do my math to convince you, let's say only one-third. One-third of 2,400 is 800, about the number in this room. See? 800. Now, where does the 800 come from? Listen to me. I would say 300 out of this 800 are the 50 and above saints. Don't we have 300 saints, 50 and above, who are ready to fulfill this commission? I believe so. Another 300 who are 25 to 50. Another 300, the so-called young working saints. Then we have an army of 600. Then we still need 200. Am I right? Well, I'll tell you who the 200 are. The 200 are the college students and the young people, at least 200. We have a little army of 800 at least. Actually, I believe there will be more, but at least 800. Now, I'm not done with my math. These 800 saints will form themselves into twos or threes. Twos or threes. This is a very big point. They won't be doing it themselves. Because today, listen to me, the preaching of the gospel is a church matter. And the preaching of the gospel is a corporate matter. We are the New Testament priesthood of the gospel, meaning we preach the gospel as a priestly body. This way we have mutual prayer, mutual strengthening, mutual support, mutual burden to fulfill this commission for the increase. So I did my little math here. I divide the 800 by 2.5. You know why 2.5? That's 2 or 3, right? 2.5. So 800 divided by 2.5 is 320. Remember, our goal is 360? So just by this 800, we can gain, each twos and three group will gain one person. One person. We will have 320 right there. This is not counting our own children that are coming up from the great school who become baptized and become, you know what I mean? Our own saints here. This is not counting them. Actually, there are a lot of things we're not counting. So I think this little math here that I'm doing should convince you this is a very, very reasonable goal. Amen? Of course, to gain one person remaining fruit, we have to contact many more than one. Am I right? According to Matthew, we need to sow seeds to four in order to get one from the good ground. This means we still have to contact all kinds of people in order to have this remaining fruit. So, brothers and sisters, I will stop here. I hope you have written this down, and you will all agree with me with this goal. Okay, I better say one more thing. Sorry, brothers. Just one more thing, and it's your turn. You say, how do we gain double the number of churches? We have 35. We have 70 churches. We divide, let's say, the whole Northern California into seven sub-areas. Listen to me. Number one, Northern California. I mean the real Northern California. I mean Oregon border. You know what I mean? That really northern part, okay? Eureka, Crescent City, and that general area is Redding part of that? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Just, you know, up there, huh? Up there. Second, North Bay. That means across the Golden Gate Bridge, Marin County, what other county? I don't know what. Sonoma County, you know, those areas. North Bay. Number three, East Bay. Well, you all know Berkeley all the way down, right? All the way Hayward, Fremont, Oakland, da-da-da, you know, East Bay. And then South Bay. You know South Bay, right? What is South Bay? San Jose. Sunnyvale. Morgan Hill. Selena, right? Selena. Okay. I got my geography wrong. But anyway, South Bay. Okay. And then Central Valley North. That's Sacramento. The whole Sacramento Valley. Huge, huge. I think that goes up to Redding or Chico or whatever it is. Stockton, you know, that whole huge, big area. And then Central Valley South, you got Merced. You got down, you have what? Modesto, you got Fresno, you got Tulare, you got Bakersfield. You know that whole, I call it a string of pearls. Then, finally, we have Central Coast. Central Coast, that is where you are, right? San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, I don't know, Salinas, Monterey, Carmel, whatever. Okay, that whole area. How come we don't have here the Western Peninsula? I mean, huh? I don't have it here. That's North Bay? Also, North Bay include like Palo Alto or whatever. Burlingame, South San Francisco, whatever. Okay, so anyway, these seven areas, if in the next 10 years, each area, we would plant a new church. One new church. Five new churches. Five, only five in 10 years. That's 35. That means one new church each area every 2 years. Now, that is more than doable. What do you think? Amen. What do you think, saints? Amen. Amen? I like to say a new day has dawned. Amen. The saints are marching on. Amen. The glory of the Lord is coming down. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is doing a work in Northern California to renew this whole area, to revive the churches and the saints in this whole area. And it will be evidenced by such a normal increase as a testimony to the nations. Okay, brothers, it's your turn. There are four brothers coming up. Please give them your attention. They want to give us some sharing of the Lord's move among us today in some detail. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In the next half hour, we'd like to give you some report regarding what the Lord has done in the last 2 years. Almost 2 years and 4 months ago, our brother Minoru has received a burden from the Lord, and also because of our invitation, has received a burden to spend more time in Northern California. We really praise the Lord for that. Amen. And during this period of time, since 2 years and 4 months ago, our brother has come up, visited many churches, got to know the condition of the leading brothers, and got to know the condition of the churches. And the more he spent time with us, the more he has the burden to strengthen the Lord's move in this area. And so we really call that the Lord's fresh move in Northern California. And he also saw the potential in this area. He saw the many churches are in close proximity to one another, and he saw the 2,400 saints, and he saw the 35 churches, and he also saw many working saints, especially many young working saints. So there's tremendous potential, and the assets are here. So really, our brother has picked up the burden before the Lord to spend more time with us. So about a year About a year and a half ago, the decision was made that we would have a training for the elders and responsible ones. And so the training started in the January of 2015. And I praise the Lord for the first six-month term. Over 300 brothers received the training and the perfecting. And then the second term, almost the same amount of number of brothers continued. And now this year, when we found out that our brother has more lessons prepared for the elders, so we asked if he would be willing to continue this training. And I just thank the Lord and praise the Lord that over 300 brothers signed up again. And so the training is still ongoing. The training is once a month, usually on the third Saturday of each month. And I just thank the Lord for the willingness of the brothers to be trained and to be perfected and to be equipped to serve the Lord, to serve the saints, and to serve the churches. Amen. So I believe this is a great blessing that the Lord has given us. And then along this line, the second point I want to share is that along this line, there's a burden for the renewal of the eldership. As you know that some of the churches here have been around for many years, and some of the leading brothers are also been around for many years. But we need to have the fresh blood. Amen. We need to have the younger ones added to the eldership. Amen. Not to replace the elders, but to be added. So there has been a lot of fellowship, a lot of consideration throughout, especially the last 8 months. And our brother, together with some of us, went to locality by locality and fellowship and consider. And as you know, the appointment of elders is a very serious matter. It's a very weighty matter. So we did not want to do it in haste. And so we need a lot of consideration. But it's already happening. At least three or four localities, our brother has already come and appointed younger brothers in addition to the older ones. And then there are many more in the making. So, saints, continue to pray for this. Amen. The Lord is moving. Amen. And the Lord is moving in the churches. Amen. And the Lord is moving in the leading brothers. Amen. And I believe there are many breakthroughs that has already happened. And we believe that the Lord will continue to bless the churches in Northern California.
Amen. Praise the Lord for His moving in Northern California. Every time our Lord moving, He needs an army. So praise the Lord for this training. He is forming army in Northern California. Not just for the leading brothers and elders. For last year or last 2 years, there is a special conference for different saints. I'm going to mention three kind of conference. First kind of conference, for last month we just have it, is 50 plus saints. Amen. I believe you still remember the verse we recited. Amen. Amen. Let me remind you. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in the Lebanon, planted in the house of Jehovah. Listen, they will flourish in the courts of our God. We're not going anywhere. We flourish in the courts of our God. Now listen, they will steer. Bring forth fruit. Amen. All the 50 plus. Amen. The conference last month was so encouraged and joyful. We will bring forth fruit in our old age. Amen. Today, in the Lord's recovery, the most needed is bring forth the fruit. Amen. And the last, they will be full of sap and grain. All the 50 plus, out of this 800, we are 300. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the coming years, we're still going to have a 50-plus conference. This conference will enforce this army. Well, one army for Lord's testimony in this area. Second conference is Sisters Conference. We have about 15 or 20 brothers was participated, invited by the Brother Miro to have participate in the Sister Conference. And remember, next month, on May, I think 5th and 6th, right? 6th and 7th, we have another Sister Conference. Last year, we all can testify. Under the shining and lighting, we were exposed, but we are so joyful. Full of sweetness. Praise the Lord for Sister Conference. Third one, okay, for the 50-plus conference, last month, we have about 400, a little bit over 400. And for last year, the Sister Conference, we have about 480, almost 500. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm wrong. That's a working sense. For Saturday morning, Sister Conference, we have over 600. So next month, I hope we can break through the 700. Praise the Lord. And another conference is last year, November. It's a Working Sense Conference in the Redwood Christian Park. And we have 480 more in that conference. I don't know if you still remember the conference. I just remind you the two verses. One is Numbers 1:3. For all the children of Israel, 20 upward, amen, they all enlist to the military service. Amen. And that word, military service, called Sabbath. And in Numbers 4:3, talking about 30 to 50 years old Levites, they all less into the service. And that same word used on 1:3 is military service. Praise the Lord for this Working Sense Conference. And for this three conferences, the one thing special is there's no outline. No outline. Even when Brother Miro stand there on the first meeting, you remember in the Working Sense Conference, he said he threw away 5 outlines because he don't feel that's Lord speaking. It's not the knowledge, but in that conference, in every conference, no matter 50 plus, no matter Sisters, no matter Working Sense, Lord give us instant speaking. Amen. That's Lord's move among us. Lord Jesus. Amen. May Lord gain his army. Amen. Into his military service. Amen. For the increase and the spread. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wanted to share about the increase of the number of churches. You know, I think when Brother Menorah was sharing, I think the weakest amen was when he said from 35 to 70 churches in 10 years, right? I think that's because I think maybe a lot of saints are thinking churches of 100, churches of 50. But we have to realize the Lord has a way of spreading, right? We don't have to wait till there's 30, 40, or 50 saints in a locality to begin the church life there, right? I want to share, first of all, this past year, at least 3 churches were raised up. The church in Rohnert Park, the church in Milpitas, and the church in Sunnyvale, right? Amen. So if we just, even if we just keep that up, in 10 years, that's 30 churches, right? 3 per year. So we shouldn't think this is difficult or out of reach. And then we have to realize that the way we're going on is by these clustering of churches, right? By the clustering, You don't have to have 100 saints in one locality. You can have 20 here, 10 there, 30 there, but they come together and they support one another.
Amen.
And they labor together.
Amen.
So I just want to reiterate these seven clusters, right, throughout Northern California. This is like in the Army, they have armies within the Army. I looked it up this morning. I think the U.S. Army has at least 9, if not 10 armies. There's the 1st Army, the 2nd Army, the 7th Army, the 8th Army, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have the armies of Jehovah in Northern California, right?
Amen.
And the first one, like we said, is up in the far, far Northern California. Those saints cluster regularly now. Medford, Eureka, and Crescent City. The brothers come together frequently, and the churches come together, I think, at least quarterly. Then next month, we'll have a blending meeting in, praise the Lord, Rohnert Park.
Amen.
If you're not sure where that is, I said, come and find out. But for sure, the church in Rohnert Park, San Francisco, and Burlingame, in Mass, will cluster there. But we also send out an invitation to all the churches. If you can send a carload or saints that would like to come, we'll be meeting on the campus of Sonoma State.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And then the East Bay has been clustering, right? That's Pleasant Hill, Brentwood, Berkeley, Alameda, Hayward, Fremont, Union City, and Pleasanton. Those churches have been coming together. I think sometimes by language, the English all together, the Chinese together. That will continue. And then the South Bay, another 8 churches, right? Milpitas, San Jose, Santa Clara, Cupertino, Campbell, Sunnyvale, Mountain View, and Palo Alto, right? I believe, right, David, there'll be a clustering in May.
Amen.
Planned for a clustering in May, maybe 2 or 3 churches, and by language, 2 or 3 in English, 2 or 3 in Chinese, another 2 or 3 in English, 2 or 3 in Chinese, right? And then Central Valley North has been clustering for a long time around the churches around the Sacramento area, even including Redding, Reno, far away. And then Fresno had a blending meeting just this past month, right? Which included Fresno, Bakersfield, Tulare, Merced, and Modesto. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So some of these churches are quite small, but they don't have to go on as an individual church out in the middle of nowhere somewhere, right? We have churches nearby that we can cluster together. And then, to me, very encouraging is this one, what we're calling the Central Coast, which is the newest, which is sort of everything south of San Jose all the way to San Luis Obispo. Includes, there are saints living in all these cities: Morgan Hill, Gilroy, Hollister, Aptos, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas, and San Luis Obispo.
Amen.
And there will be another blending.
Amen.
Right, Chuck? There'll be a blending in Monterey.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So if even just these cities become churches, right? Why not a church in Morgan Hill? Why not Santa Cruz? Why not Monterey? Right? Just the ones that where we already have saints, we could easily reach 70. You know, all these areas. I think in the Sacramento area, how many cities are there around Sacramento? How many cities north of Berkeley going all the way up through Vallejo? Right? Praise the Lord. I just want to let you know that from the GTCA in Rohnert Park and also Reno and Vallejo, there have been excellent results. Right now in Rohnert Park, we have at least 12 families meeting there. And through GTCA, we have more than 30 students that we are endeavoring to shepherd as much as we can. They're meeting with us on a regular basis. And then the brothers from Vallejo told me they have 170 contacts, 170 from GTCA, that they can't possibly physically contact them all. They are e-shepherding them by texting them. They formed small groups of 2s and 3s and divided those 170 names, and those saints are texting them little verses and some nourishment from the ministry. And they said, so far, not one person has told them, stop sending me this. They've gotten positive responses. And then they also have at least 6 or 7 that they are regularly in physical contact with, right?
Amen.
So the Lord has an easy way to go on.
Amen.
If we'll labor, the Lord can easily raise up another 35 churches in the next 10 years.
Amen.
Cooperation. Okay. Saints, from the beginning of the time that our brother began to come and visit, fellowship, and labor among us, we're really here to testify that we have seen the Lord bless and increase the one accord among all the churches in an unprecedented way. As I was coming here this morning, I was just considering how pleasant, how dear it is to our Father God to see the oneness of His Son's body, right? Amen. To see the oneness of the churches in this part of the earth, and to bring His blessing down on us, you know. We have a history in Northern California, which I have been a part of for most of it. But I can tell you, with no uncertain terms, the one accord among the brothers, the elders and the co-workers, the one accord among the saints in all the churches is at an unprecedented level. We can't say that everything is complete, right, and put the top stone on, but we can certainly say that the one accord, the oneness of all the churches, of all the saints, is being perfected day by day.
Amen.
And we feel confident as we go on that this oneness in the formation of an army for the Lord, in the blessing of the oneness in all the churches with life and increase, will go on and on and on. I just can't say enough in thanks to the Lord for the direction He's leading us in, for the harmony among the brothers, and for the blessing we see from the Lord. And I would just like to say, it was a little quiet this morning when Minoru gave us some goals, like Terry said, it was a little quiet about 35 churches. Well, it took us 60 years to get 35 churches. What are we talking about getting 35 churches? But saints, I'm full of faith.
Amen.
I'm full of belief,
Amen.
Right? And I believe you share the same. The outline, the goal that Brother Minoru has set before us and the outline of how we will arrive at that goal are all eminently doable. This is not going to be another rush to save the world and wonder why we didn't 6 months later. This is something very much in the Lord's heart. It's the Lord's present burden in His whole recovery in North America, and we trust Him that He will accomplish what He has set out to do, right?
Amen.
He needs our cooperation. He needs our prayer. Yes. He needs our two-by-twos,
Amen.
Right? Isn't that wonderful? To go out in the gospel is not something you go out with your knees knocking all alone, right? The gospel is something corporate, right?
Amen.
The gospel is something by prayer,
Amen.
By the Spirit and the Word,
Amen.
And by twos or threes,
Amen.
Right? In this way, the Lord will conquer.
Amen.
The gospel will conquer, and the divine history in human history will reach its goal, right?
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the one accord in the churches in these days.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Wait, we can go. I think we can go.
We can go.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be out of here at noon. Okay. So I've seen some gone to bathrooms already. That's to be expected. All right, now I want to give some conclusion to all of us and take your pen out, all right? first of all, let me just say something first, and that is that one of the very key practices key almost to everything related to our fellowship this morning is this whole idea or concept, or I would even say revelation of sorts, related to the matter of two or three in the Bible. Now, the brothers have prepared a document with my help based on the 50-plus conference 2 weeks ago. You remember, some of you, right? I studied the Bible with you the whole Bible regarding the critical importance of this number, 2 or 3. So I'm going to conclude this morning with that fellowship, something that I share with them, but I'd like to broadcast to all of you because it is practicable and applicable to all ages and every saint, all the saints. So I don't have the time to really get into the importance of 2s or 3s, except to say the following, that 25 years ago, before our dear brother Witness Lee left, he was extremely burdened, having just returned from Taiwan after 5 years of research work, which resulted in something what we call the God-ordained way for all the believers to serve, the way in which we should serve according to the Holy Scriptures. And that is the way that every believer would preach the gospel and beget spiritual children, would bear fruit. Every believer would have a share in feeding some young and new ones. Brothers, this is so, so important that if we are not doing this, we are not quite the normal Christian. And then number 3, we would even teach and perfect these young believers in the Lord. And finally, that we would bring them to our meetings where there is mutual speaking, prophesying testimony according to 1 Corinthians 14 to build up the church. Now, there's a lot to say. There's plenty of books about that. I don't have the time. But let me get to my point, that after he came back to this country, his particular burden to help us work these things out in the churches was with this matter of 2s or 3. Now, unfortunately, we did not practice this adequately or successfully. Now, 20 years later, I must tell you, as I look back, I have a strong feeling and strong confirmation that according to my personal study and experience, that these 2 or 3 is the Lord's way, and it must be and will be worked out successfully. And this is what we're doing here in Northern California, as a place to push together, to experiment, to labor together, to work this out. So what is this? This is 2 or 3, not legal. There could be 4. Daniel has 3 friends, so there are 4. Am I right? The 3 disciples with the Lord, there's 4. But the Bible is very consistent on the number 2 or 3 persons related to his move. Okay? For our existence, 1 just by you may be okay. But to carry out God's work, like the gospel, like caring for people, and so on, you need 3. You need 2 or 3 in the principle of the body, in the principle of a corporate priesthood, in the principle of members complementing one another to carry out the work of the Lord, the work of the ministry. All right. So you keep that in mind. So just one of you by yourself is not good enough. We all need some companions. We all need some comrades. We all need some partners. So when one fall, the other can be held up. Am I right? The Bible says if one chase 1,000, 2 would chase 10,000. It's an exponential increase in effectiveness when we have more than just one of us ourselves. This is God's way. Now, at this time, even though we're setting goals with numbers and so on, we like to encourage all the saints to take the way of twos or threes. Just take this way. Who, twos or threes? Just someone in your locality, in your home group, in your district, in your church, who share the same burden as you. It could be husband and wife. It could be two or three singles. It could be students in the college. It could be an older one and a younger one. It's extremely flexible. No legality. And in fact, you can have several twos and three sets that you belong to. You see? Now, I would like to encourage you, all the churches, all the saints, those who are burdened, the 800 at least, if not everyone, to practice this as part of our church life, besides going to the meetings on Lord's Day, the table, the prophesying meeting, the prayer meeting, besides even the so-called home group meeting that you have on Friday night or Saturday night, practice the twos or threes. Find another one, another saint. Find one or two more. You don't need the elders' arrangement. You don't need the church's arrangement. This is all the saints' freedom and their own initiative because they are burdened for what we're talking about this morning, that is to seek increase, to gain people for Christ and the church. So do it. You just do it. And then as you do, you will find out how to go on. This is very, very important. All right, very, very important. Chas, I think it might be good to, after we edit it a little bit, make it available to all the saints. That document, that biblical document, to prove the importance of two or three. You'll be quite convinced. You'll be very convinced by that. Let me just say one thing. God is what? One or three? God is one and three. Mysterious. Why one? Why three? We should know. One has to do with his essence. Three has to do with his economy. One, the triune God is one because there's only one God and in essence is one, in element is one. But why is God three? In the first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created. That word God in Hebrew, it's all numeric. It means three. Very interesting. That God is a three God. One God, but three. And then quickly when he created man, he said, let us make man. Why? Because God is three, so let us. They have a council within the Godhead. Now, this is just a starter, and then we went through the whole Bible with this matter, and we realized that one is for essential subsistence or existence. Three is always for economy and move. So, we are this morning all together talking about the move of the Lord. So for that move, we cannot be one. We also have to be two or three. The Lord did not send anyone out. He sent 70 disciples two by two. And if you want to study this matter to the depth, go to Matthew chapter 18, where twos and threes are mentioned four times. And that is the Lord's first mentioning and only mentioning from out of his own mouth concerning the practical church life. The Lord didn't talk about big meetings. The Lord only talked about two or three. Two or three, enjoying the Lord's presence. Two or three, what? Praying. And two or three, going to recover and seek a lost and fallen one. And this is what we're doing. So pick this matter up and begin practicing it. Now, this morning, I want to end this time with 5 more minutes to give you I think, is it eight? Eight twos or threes. And this is very wonderful that you can practice right away. Now, this two or three is not just two or three persons. That is just the basic companionship groups or team that will be formed. I hope really 800 the saints rise up, one-third, that they will be formed into what? Divided by 2.5 is what? 320 teams. There will be 320 teams running around in Northern California, and they are prayer partners, these three. They are gospel comrades. They are what? They are Christ pursuers, companions, spiritual companions. They are teams. They are teams, right? At least for the next year, you will be in this team. My goodness, this army is really being formed.
Amen.
There will be 320 gospel teams Amen. In Northern California.
Amen.
My goodness, this place is going to explode. All right, I'm going to give you eight twos and threes for your Christian life and church life. It will guarantee you will live a healthy life if you take my advice. Number one, every morning, call on the Lord two or three times.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
You say, Lord Jesus, I need you.
Amen.
You say, Lord Jesus, I open to you.
Amen.
You, of course, by the third time, you'll be calling more than that. But you start with two or three times of calling. Isn't that easy to do?
Amen.
Every one of us do that. Number two, every morning, after you've called two or three times, take two or three verses from the Holy Word, from whatever. Just take two or three verses, no more than that. Many times two is enough. And pray, read, and masticate and eat the Word. We all can do this. I don't want to use the word morning revival, this and that, because that has been somewhat spoiled. I just say, call on the Lord two or three times, take two or three verses. Number three, every day, take two to three times from your job, from your work, from your daily life to turn and pray to the Lord. It could be just 2 minutes. It could be 5 minutes. That's all. But just take that amount of time at noon, in the evening before you go to bed, at the morning coffee time. Just turn to the Lord. Go into the closet. Go into the backyard. Close your eyes. Just take two or three times per day to pray to touch the throne of grace. Is that doable?
Yes.
And number four, what is it, number four? Here we go. I have a new one. Every day. Now make it a habit. You all have to budget your time and turn this into a habit. Habit in the end wins. Sporadic, you know, feeling never gets you anywhere. Habit brings you to your goal. Okay, number four thing is what? Is this number four? I'm going to say number four now, right? Okay, number four is read two or three chapters in the Bible. Don't worry whether you understand it, you don't understand it. You can read two from the New Testament, one from the Old, or all three from the New. I don't care. You just start. Two or three chapters of God's Word every day. It will make you healthy, guaranteed. Number five, every week, read two or three life study messages. And I'm going to talk about this more, and I suggest two. You can read three if you like to. I like all of Northern California churches all get into a life study reading program for the next 20 years to finish all up. How about that?
Amen.
You say it's too slow. Well, I tell you, I always say the tortoise wins the race. The slow way, steady way works in the end. So two or three, and I think the churches will lead you what we're going to get into, or you're in it already. Two or three life study message will guarantee you spiritual health. And number what now?
Six.
Six. Go to two or three meetings a week. All right? Now, the Lord's table doesn't count because the Lord's table is not a meeting. The Lord's table is a supper. It's a memorial of the Lord, okay? So go to three. What three? Well, easy. The prophesying meeting is one. Prayer meeting is another. At least two, right? Then your group meeting is number three. So just be a good Christian, normal Christian, and go to two or three meetings. Easy to do. That's number six, right?
Yes.
Number seven. Aha. Number seven. All you 800, whoever you are, I hope 2,400. Every year, every week, budget your time to give 2 to 3 hours to the Lord for the gospel. You can be standing out there passing out tracts. You can be writing email to your relative. You can making phone calls to your acquaintance. You can be knocking on doors. You can be visiting the backslidden saints. You can be inviting people for a meal. 2 to 3 hours per week. Don't cheat the Lord. Don't shortchange the Lord. Don't owe the Lord anything. And you do it with your companions.
Amen?
Amen. You just do it. You just do it. Trust me, you do it. Okay. Lastly, number eight. Number eight. What is number eight? Oh, yeah. There we go. At all times, endeavor to have two or three persons under your care. Two or three persons under your care. Some in the front burner, some in the middle burner, some in the back burner. These could be high schoolers. These could be junior hires. These could be college students. These could be gospel friends. These could be newly saved ones. Always have two or three in your heart with names to pray and under your care.
Amen.
How about this?
Amen.
You do these eight things.
Amen.
This is very doable, and this is very healthy for all of us if you would just practice it.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to have you tell me those eight things, and then I will sit down. Number one, call on the Lord two or three times. Number two, pray two or three verses. Number three, pray two or three times per day. You know, Daniel did that. He kneeled down at the window three times a day. It's scriptural. Number four, read two or three chapters of the Bible per day. Number five, read two or three life studies per week. Number six, go to two or three meetings of the church. You have to go to the meetings of the church. Number seven, 2 to 3 hours, don't cheat the Lord. Right? Nobody's looking at you, but I think the heavenly TV is, some heavenly drone is watching you, huh? Okay, number eight, 2 or 3 people always under your care. I believe we do this, the church, the saints will be healthy, the church will be robust, and the bringing of the increase will be something very, very normal.
Amen.
Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Thank you for the meeting this morning.
Amen.
Surely you have given us the marching order.
Amen.
Lord, you have given us your charge and commandment.
Amen.
Lord, we're here not to say we will do it.
Amen.
We're here to say, Lord, we have heard. Now we consecrate ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, you do it in us.
Amen.
Lord, you as grace
Amen.
Will cause us to labor
Amen.
More than others.
Amen.
Lord, to fulfill your present day commission, to preach this high gospel, to propagate the divine truth, to bring in the real normal increase and spread in your recovery. Lord, I pray for the churches in Northern California. I pray for all 2,400 saints. Lord, raise up from among them your seekers and your lovers, those who will give themselves to you to live this way. Oh, Lord Jesus, we count on your blessing. This is the work of your hands. This is your recovery. And this is your move on the earth. We are nothing, but we are here one with you. Join with you in this universal grand enterprise. Lord, here we pray again. Your name be sanctified. Lord, your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, even here in Northern California. Glory to your name. Amen and amen.